Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We've been considering these well-known words of the Apostle Paul, and I want us to one more time this morning. Galatians 6, we begin at verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now you know that in this letter to the Galatian churches, the Apostle Paul is seeking to bring them back from false teaching, really a denial of the gospel, to have an established foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. He's telling them about the false teachers, to beware of their influence, and pointing them again to the Lord Jesus as the only hope of salvation. And he summarizes his teaching here, this contrast between himself preaching the gospel and those false teachers, by saying, those men, they go around boasting about your flesh. In other words, they're saying, we went to the Galatian churches and we got them to be circumcised. Aren't we great? And Paul says, I will never glory in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. And so in this text of verse 14, he presents to us very prominently the cross of our Lord Jesus, but he shows us two other crosses as well. We've been spending a couple of Lord's Suppers looking at the cross of our Lord Jesus, what it meant for Christ, what it symbolizes to us. And I want us to go on this morning and think about these other two crosses that Paul speaks of here in verse 14. The second cross is the cross of a dead world. The cross of a dead world. Paul tells us that when someone comes to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is another death that happens. It's as though the world is placed on a cross. The world has been crucified to me. Now, what does Paul mean here by the world? Well, I believe he's pointing to everything that we used to glory in before we were brought to Christ. Everything that was of supreme importance to us, everything that was the delight of our souls, before God by his grace brought us to embrace the Lord Jesus. Paul himself, in his well-known testimony in Philippians 3, gives us a lengthy list of the things that used to be important to him before he came to Christ. He boasted in his nationality, his pure Jewishness, and in his family upbringing, how even in Israel they had a privileged position. He boasted in his religious privileges, his service, and the education that he had been privileged to have. Those were the things that he lived for. That was what he was trusting in to make him right with God. It was what he used to boast in, what made him feel important in the world. But when he found Christ, he made a drastic resolve. He resolved to take all of those things and count them as garbage, rubbish. He rejected them in terms of trusting them for his standing before God or glorying in them. They were crucified to him. They died. He would not rely upon them anymore to bring him to God. They were no longer his hope for heaven. Now, there are many things that people glory in today. You find people eager, ready to glory in their own basic goodness. Many people will admit, well, nobody's perfect. Yeah, we all make mistakes. Yet when you ask them what their hope of heaven is, they say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. I'm a pretty good person. I do good things. They're ready to boast in their own personal goodness. And beyond that, you find people trusting in their money, their education, their family, their friends. These are the things they believe make them to be important. What they believe they're going to is going to lead them to enjoy this life and the next. These are the things that they're trusting in. People glory in things like sports and the glamorous life of Hollywood and the pleasures that they're seeking all the time. They boast in these things. This is what they believe will bring them ultimate happiness. But when you come to Christ, those things have to die. They have to be crucified to you. They can no longer have the place that they used to have. They can never be anymore what you live for. In fact, these words of Paul here are a good test of whether Christ and his cross have come to have a central place in your life. Has the world died to you? Has it lost its glory? Have you been willing to give up those things for Christ? That's the second cross that Paul speaks of here, the cross of the world. But then there's a third cross that he also speaks of, the cross of a dead you. The cross of a dead you. Paul adds, and I to the world. The world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. This is the impact of Christ's cross upon the Christian. The result is, I am dead to the world. The Apostle Paul and every believer is willing to be considered by the world as a dead man. Now, think of how the crowd ridiculed the men who were crucified on Calvary with the Lord Jesus. They laughed at them. They made jokes about them. Those men on those crosses were nothing to them. And in this world, every believer is going to be in the same place. It's going to be seen by the world. That person is going to be seen by the world as a man on a cross, good for nothing. Think about Paul himself. Prior to his conversion, he had quite a reputation in Israel. As a young man, he was quickly bypassing a lot of people, headed for a career of brilliance and power among the Jewish people. But when he became a Christian, he lost all that. The mob in Jerusalem treated him like a traitor. They were ready to tear him limb from limb. Powerful government men thought that he had lost his mind because he had such a zealous faith. Remember his trial before the governor, Roman governor Festus? Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. It didn't bother him. He had died to the world. He didn't care if they despised him. He had Christ. That must be the attitude of the believer. Your unbelieving family may well despise you and consider you a fanatic. They can't understand why Christ has come to have such a prominent place in your life. Why you keep a whole day every week for God. But to you it's okay. Because you've died to the world. People at work may wonder why you would be so committed to Christ and think you strange for it. Don't worry. You've died to the world. You've got to be willing to be despised at school if you're going to be a Christian. If you're not going to wear immodest clothes. If you're not going to have a filthy tongue. If you're not going to listen to the music of the world. If you're going to testify that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is going to treat you like someone who has died on a cross. Nothing. Only to be despised. But if you're truly a believer, you won't mind because you have Christ. And if you have Christ, then you have everything. Gresham Machen, in his notes on Galatians, says this: Christianity, as portrayed here, is not the gentle, easygoing doctrine that is being mistaken for it today. It is no light thing to say, the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto the world. But the result is a new creature. So let me ask you, are there three crosses in your life? Do you have Paul's perspective? The great central cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The shame that he encountered for you. But he's our Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, the one who is willing to come into this world to take up the Father's mission and die in your place and in my place. If there's anything that you get excited about in this world, is it that? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And besides that, is there the second cross? Has the world died to you? Has it been crucified to you? Does it no longer hold to you the dazzling splendors that it once did? And is there the third cross? Have you died to the world? Are you willing to be counted as nothing because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul reminds us that when the gospel really gets hold of your life, it's going to make a dramatic change. You're not going to be the person you used to be. You'll be willing to say, like Paul, I count all that rubbish that I might have Christ. Let's bow in prayer.